Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Going Long with Joe and Paul. On this week's episode, a look at the overall pattern for the rest of May. The MJO shows severe weather for early June and a tropical outlook for the early season. Now, here they are, meteorologist Paul Pastelak and Joe Lundberg.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition Going Long with Joe and Paul. And we're just talking about off air here about lawn cutting. That was kind of one of the quotes, I guess, that our department here at AccuWeather quoted me on, is that a lot of people will be cutting the lawns pretty much here going into the first part of the summer season, every 4 or 5 days. And so far, Joe, I think that's lived up to it. And in our neck of the woods, I can tell you.
Oh, this is, I've cut it last year on a consistent basis every 5 or 6 days. This year so far, I've been managing to stretch it to 7. But when I did that last Tuesday, boy, it was a challenge. Let's put it that way. So I'm going to do it again and try to keep it at a week's pace and see how it goes from there.
I'm surprised you didn't get one of those little yellow tickets that some of the police officers come around doing when your lawn gets too tall in a neighborhood. You must be a little away from everybody.
Yeah, we're far enough away that it's not a big issue there. Plus, I'm good about it. I keep it in good standing order.
Yeah, we're living out in the country. You don't have to worry too much about that, so it's nice. No one bothers.
Yes.
You. Nobody cares out there. Anyway, we got a good show here ahead for you guys here today. A couple of interesting things. We're going to talk about the overall rest of May forecast, which is looking really interesting going into next week, and help of a teleconnection called the MJO. So, something that a wave that called the MJO that we're going to be looking at that could enhance precipitation our way over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to take a look at the tropical outlook early season, talking about just going into the early part of June and if there's anything that we have to be concerned about going into that time period. But first of all, Joe, let's talk about the rest of May. Not many days left, and we'll be in the unofficial start of the summer season, June 1st, very soon here. What are we looking at, Joe? Overall?
I think the middle part of the country is going to have a really nice first weekend of summer. I think there's going to be a fair amount of sunshine, for much of the Ohio and Tennessee Valley, particularly the Mississippi Valley and out into the central and southern plains. It just looks like ridging takes over. And, if you had vacation plans or that's where you live, the weather there is going to be pretty good, I think, for the 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah. And then we could be talking a little bit more action as far as cloud cover and rainfall and some thunder in the eastern part of the nation to start off the holiday weekend, Joe.
Yeah, it's not going to be a perfect weekend. And as the weekend progresses, the weather should get marginally better with each passing day, where the instances of rain become less and less and the instances of sunshine become more and more. But it's going to be a slow progression. We're optimistic that Monday will be the best of the 3 days in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. I mean, there's some computer forecast, the GFS, which wants to hold on to this upper level low an extra day and keep those areas unsettled. But we're kind of banking on this thing being progressive enough, especially with more troughiness trying to come into the west, that the thing gets booted out and the weather improves over the end of the Memorial Day weekend there.
Yeah, you heard that, folks, banking on it. It's like, there's some phrases that we say that, we're a little bit concerned, but more positive on the other side, like Joe explained. This is one of those days on Memorial Day where it could be absolutely sunny outside, nice and warm for any picnics outside. Or it could be just cloudy, damp, and cool, and some rain around. You're going to have to be under the tents and canvases. It's one of those things. There's no in between, I think. It's one or the other. And the GFS American model has been consistent on its outlook for Memorial Day being unsettled from central Pennsylvania on east. And the European has been, and Canadian have been, improving the weather. So it's going to be a tough call on that. But at this point, I think you favor the latter part of the weekend at this point rather than the beginning, Joe.
Yeah. And I think, areas from DC on south and southwest, you're going to be okay. I don't really see there being much of an issue there. And even in Florida, I just don't think there's going to be a lot of shower and thunderstorm activity. It looks like a pretty dry holiday weekend for those folks as well. In contrast, the weather, I think, is not going to be very nice across the Northern Plains and particularly the Northern Rockies. Just looks like, as I mentioned, that trough that starts to dig into the Northwest means more cool air and an opportunity for some rain. And I guess there could be some snow at, you know, at some elevation. I don't, this is not a Denver thing like we saw last Friday and Friday night, but man, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe West Yellowstone sees some snow if you're trying to plan and a park outing there. And that may be one of the places where there's some snow around.
Yeah, if you see Yogi Bear out there, he might have some white stuff on top of his head.
So. He might.
But I mean, it's one of those things. Yeah, it's we're stuck in a. If you put the checklist down, Joe. Okay, and you look at ENSO, we're still stuck in a La Nina. And it may be a weak one as we go through the course of the summer, but we're still seeing what we get reflection of La Nina, a northern storm track that's just stubborn to leave. And it continues to plague the Northwest at times and go over top and bring some unseasonably cool weather that dips back down sometimes into the Northern Plains and the Great Lakes and Northeast at times. So that will continue to go on into the start of June. We've kind of played up this along with other teleconnections called the QBO, which kind of promotes more blocking, high latitude blocking, forcing a storm track farther south. That could also be influencing the weather going into the beginning of the summer season, and we're seeing some of that now. And what's the one thing else? Oh, the water temperatures along the West Coast also enhancing the amplification of the pattern as well. So, I mean, there's a bunch of things that are in favor of keeping a kind of a hold on a stagnant pattern that you would typically see going into the summer season, things slowing down, things starting to look better, drying out a little bit. No, that's not the case. We're seeing a lot more action, maybe not a lot of severe weather all at once, but we're seeing a lot of heavy rain events, Joe.
We have, and we've had to, you know, to deal with some flooding. I mean, the severe weather has certainly been on the table. I don't want to, you know, give people the wrong impression. I mean, we just saw yesterday's this little non-tropical low rolled in off the Gulf of Mexico and then rode up through the southern Appalachians. There was severe weather across part of the southeast yesterday. Most of it was wind damage. There were, I guess, a couple of tornado reports and some they were going to investigate. And then there was some severe weather in West Texas. And the system that's coming out of the Rockies, you know, during the mid to late week period and moving eastward, there'll be some severe weather with it. But I don't think it'll, you know, as it rolls eastward, I think the threat of severe weather becomes less and less. And it becomes more of a concern. Where do you get the heavy rain and on top of heavy rain that you've already had and cause some flooding issues?
Yeah, the end of the month is interesting because there's a pro and a con against getting severe weather right now. The con is that the upper trough that comes in that usually initiates and ignites the severe weather that we see is now more positively tilted. And a lot of times what ends up happening, you get too much cloud cover out ahead, not as much sunshine, not as much warming, and you don't get the severity of the storms. It's mostly rain, some thunderstorms embedded kind of thing. But there's something called the MJO. We've talked about this in other podcasts. It's kind of a wave that moves across the globe and it gets enhanced and then it weakens and gets enhanced and weakens. And it looks to me that we're going to see a legitimate wave come across, maybe starting as early as later next week and then going into the following week that could enhance activity. And so when that comes across our neck of the woods here in North America, we could see some little extra boost of some of the type of storms that come through. And so that kind of favors a little bit of severe weather, but I'm not sure right now based on some of the shorter range models I'm seeing, Joe.
Where would you target that severe weather then? That would probably be the question on everyone's mind. Where would you target that severe weather if there's an enhancement to it?
Yeah, I think there's two areas. There's a rain area mostly in the corridors like you talked about, Joe, into Minnesota. I agree with that.
Okay.
But the other area that I'm concerned about that's not shown very well on the modeling yet is, from Missouri to Illinois, Indiana. I still think there's going to be some type of outbreak middle of next week ahead of this front. The models are dry, and I'm not quite sure I believe it right now. I think there's going to be some type of moisture pull from the south, from the Gulf. But the only thing that's against that is that I don't see a buildup of a strong high. It's kind of this pesky low off the southeast coast, kind of holding back any high pressure from forming. And then pull, and around high pressure, you go clockwise the flow, and that would pull moisture out of the Gulf up into that system in Missouri and Illinois, but not seeing that just yet right now. But I think things might change, and the MGO might have some, some say on that as well.
Interesting. You know, I guess I'm not sure exactly where to go with that. Other than to say that I have to think that somewhere south and east of that area, then it would be a prolonged period of dry weather. No.
Yeah. Because of the fact that the ridge, like you were talking about at the start, there's some nice weather expected down across that, like Arkansas, Northeast Texas, Louisiana. There's an upper level high there. And so maybe that is also not denying any of this moisture to come up from the south, from the Gulf as well. So
it's not denying it, but it's forcing it around those areas.
Right, exactly. So I don't know if we're seeing what's on the maps right now, what's really going to happen by the mid to latter part of next week. I'm a little concerned things are going to change up a little bit here. So
it's interesting. You look at the European weeklies for week two that came out last night. Mm-hmm. You know, they're dry, you know, lower Mississippi Valley, much of the South, the Tennessee Valley, Ohio Valley. But then they have a corridor of very moist or high anomalies in terms of precipitation, stretching from Oklahoma and Kansas up through northern and western Missouri, Illinois, and pretty much all of the Midwest and central and northern plains. I mean, that the bullseye appears to be over Kansas, northwest Missouri, and Iowa. So,
you know, the more I look at it, Joe, you might be right. I think you're right on that. I might be too early. It may be the fall. It may be like late next weekend, the weekend of the 4th and 5th and beyond, that might happen. So I might be pushing things a little too fast. So maybe it's not the middle of next week that we're dealing with it. And maybe it is dry, like you were saying. It's the next system after that we might have problems.
Here's another question. This is going to dovetail with the tropics. You know, we've been talking, you know, for the past 2 or 3 weeks about the potential for early season development or preseason development in the Atlantic Basin. And finally, we came to the conclusion last week, it just wasn't likely. And if anything, you know, it might happen on the Pacific side. Now it looks like that's probably going to happen. Does any of that moisture get siphoned northward through Mexico and get into the pattern to maybe contribute to what you're talking about for next week or later next week?
It's hard to say. I'm not sure how much gets up in there. The models are showing some pop-up stuff in areas that have been pretty dry. And to be honest with you, Joe, I don't know how to decipher that. I don't know if that's just moisture clogged up from the beginning of the monsoon down across central Mexico that's getting pulled up and ripped up by the stronger upper trough coming into the Rockies. I can't say it right now, but it is interesting. It is an interesting look. And the research that I did last week, because I got an interview question about, is ENSO have any effect, La Nina or El Nino, on the monsoon in the Southwest? And there's really not a strong correlation except for one fact that in La Niñas, it typically starts a little bit earlier than normal. And usually we're looking for the monsoon to start in late June and early July. Maybe this year it starts in mid-June, you know, so, or, you know, what we're seeing here, maybe the preview of what to expect, you know, coming up here in June. So you might be onto something, Joe. That's something to watch here going forward.
Well, I'm just thinking that if there's a trough that's in the west, you've got a ridge over the southeast, and then you've got something percolating in the East Pacific Basin. You know, if that, you know, is real close to land or even makes landfall in Mexico, does all of that moisture just die in the mountains of Mexico, or does some of it actually get peeled northward?
Right.
And with an upper level trough, you've got a southwest flow in between the ridge and the upstream trough. Maybe some of that moisture gets snuck in there, and you get some sort of little, you know, enhancement along a frontal boundary or a wave that gets ejected out of the Southern Rockies and across the Plain States. And that's how what you're thinking about, you know, ends up taking place.
Long range models from months ago suggested that June was not completely below normal. I think we talked about this across, you know, Southern Arizona, Southern New Mexico.
Right.
We're not well below normal either in that area. We kind of have a little wedge where it's like near normal in that region. And so the long range forecast model suggests that it looks like it's a little farther east, but that could change too. It could come a little farther west. We'll have to watch, but they're onto something there. And it could be interesting going into June.
Let me ask you this question, you know, cause this, in the middle of doing something where we had our long range team meeting about an hour or so ago, you know, so I might've missed some of the things there, but what are some things that you see out there you know, going on or that might be going on in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, you know, between now and say mid to late June, that, you know, may call, you know, throw up caution flags about the ongoing forecast or that may necessitate changes?
Well, we'll start. The thing that caught my eye is the minus 5.2 departure in Seattle right now for the month of May. You know, we had 1 to 2 below normal. It's going to end up 5 below normal. And so the influence of the Pacific and this La Nina, what's going on, is having a major, you know, factor on the Northwest. And we have 1 to 2 below normal for them for the month of June. I'm wondering if we're cooling off there. So we're seeing a lot more moisture, which is really going to hold back the wildfire season in the Northwest this year. Completely different to last June. Last June, we had this big upper high there. Heat, high heat, fires, you know, busting out everywhere. Completely different this year coming up, I think, in the month of June. I just hope we're cool enough across the Northern Rockies, Northern Plains, and the Northwest, based on what I'm seeing right now.
I'm just looking at some of the numbers, like Portland, they're 3 degrees below normal, and they're running well above normal for precip this month. Eugene, nearby, they're 3 degrees below normal, and about 131% of normal for the entire month. One of the places that I look at on a regular basis, OMAC, they've had near normal rainfall and they're 4.5 degrees below normal. So yeah, looking at the numbers, there's just been a consistent lack of warmth. I mean, you get a day or two here where it's normal to slightly above, and then boom, you get another little trough that comes in, you know, that brings cloud cover, it keeps temperatures down. And I don't see that changing for a while yet. No, I don't.
And then this also has, and I talked about this in the meeting that we had, is like, we change one thing going into summer, it changes like 5 or 6, 7 graphics that we have out.
Yeah,
And one of them is the wildfire situation. Do we hang on longer hoping, and, you know, because we know that the peak of the wildfire season in California is generally in late summer and fall. Okay. But we can't see fires out ahead. And we have seen that in the past. The Northwest has contributed with the fires to boost the numbers of acreage burned on a given year, if you look at past years. And so you take them out of the equation. Are we too high in our forecast of 8.1 to 8.3 million? Or is California going to make up for it this year? Is it going to be a really, really bad? I'm going to throw three reallys in. Really, really, really bad season for California, that the acreage goes way back up at the last minute. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to consider here. And that's what makes it so difficult predicting acreage and wildfires. But they could have an effect of what's going on in the Northwest right now, holding back wildfires, bringing them, you know, a better season compared to last year.
So. Or here's another thing, you know, does the, you know, start of the monsoon season begin a little early and you actually get some of these disturbances that come up through there and bring moisture up into California, which, you know, obviously some of those thunderstorms are going to be dry thunderstorms, which could spark fires, but does it bring enough moisture that actually aids, you know, at least in the Sierra, of maybe cutting down on some of those fires? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's hard to say at this point. The thing is that it looks a little better chance that monsoon moisture will get back to a little farther west, but the onset of monsoon is tricky, because if these cells that do pop up that are showing up on the model may be overdone on precip, we could have a lot of dry thunderstorms, you know, being produced by this rather than, you know, plentiful beneficial rainfall. And that could spark more fires down across the Southwest and across California as well. And that kickstarts the wildfire season even faster. We have July rather than August opening up for most of the state of California as far as significant wildfire. I still like that idea. And the only way we get our numbers there is, and I'm not hoping for that. We don't want to hope for that number. We want it to be much lower than that. It's just, that's the way that the timing and the path set up of the upper pattern sets up, that we went with those numbers. But it could all California really critical to how far we're going to get close to those numbers this year.
The pattern has to change, that's for sure, because right now, like I said, there's still this persistent troughiness in the Northwest, which is keeping them cool and wet, And, you know, that's going to me, that factor alone would delay the onset of the monsoon season. So the trough's going to have to get out of there, you know, if we're going to start to see things, you know, take on some sort of semblance of normal as we get to the second half of June and into early July.
Yeah, I looked at a departure map, normal precipitation since April 22nd. And yeah, it's about two standards below normal for the Four Corners all the way to California, Nevada. But it's not in the minus six to minus eight departure range just yet. And it is a little slow getting there. So because of these events that have been going through. So that needs to change for things to get really out of hand. And in a good sense, I'm glad it's not. But at the same time, our forecast may have to be adjusted.
Okay. I just figured I'd pick your brain because I heard some things in there and I was like saying, okay, something I want to go back to, but I didn't get the full gist of it because I was kind of doing two things at the same time, which I'm sure you're totally unfamiliar with, right?
We never do that, right? We never do two things at the same time. Jeez, even at home, I'm doing three things at the same time, it seems like now. So, but anyway, let's break it down, Joe. We're getting a little long here today. What do you say? Where do you want to start today?
Let's start where we usually do in the West, where the Southwest is dry. No surprise there. The Northwest cool and still opportunities for moisture in the coming days. I think the holiday weekend's not exactly going to be all that nice in the Northwest. It may improve with time. I could see how Seattle and Portland salvage a decent finish to the holiday weekend. Interior areas, though, I'd be worried about some pop-up showers or even some thunder showers.
It could be some snow. It's going to be snowing in the Bitterroots. I can tell you right now, it looks like snow in the Bitterroots.
And well, I didn't want to go there.
Wyoming. So unbelievable. Yeah. As far as the South goes, I really think it does dry out. You suggested that going into the weekend for Texas, the Southwest, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, most of those places.
Yeah. After Wednesday, you're done in Texas. You're done for a week. Nothing's going to happen there. And that just rolls eastward. Thursday, we make that transition. It's probably the last unsettled day in the lower Mississippi Valley. Friday, you get sunshine. And that just keeps sweeping eastward across the deep South as we go into the weekend. So Florida, you may go into the start of the holiday weekend with a threat for showers and thunderstorms. But I think you end it pretty quiet, especially northern parts of the state in the panhandle.
Yeah, it keeps making me nervous. I keep seeing these modeling just showing a high pressure aloft building towards the southeast, something that I didn't expect it to be that far inland. I thought it'd be more offshore, and that could provide some warmer weather going into the first week of June. So yeah, we got to get by the holiday weekend a little bit with some unsettled stuff in the east, and then man, we could have some periods where it does warm up going into early June. What do you think,
Joe? Yes, it does. And I'm okay with that.
Just got to get by this holiday weekend, folks, in the Northeast. Saturday and Sunday right now, a little iffy. Monday could improve.
Cool, cloudy, unsettled. It's not going to be great, if you're out and about Philly, New York City, Boston. But, hopefully Monday will be a better day.
Yes. And let's end it on that note. Well, thanks for joining us this week. We'll be back again next week. We'll talk a little bit more in detail about the early part of June and what you can expect, and maybe dive a little bit more into the tropical outlook, discussing a few things with our expert, Dan Kalowski. He's a little concerned that we could have one, maybe two storms by the middle of June near the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean. So we'll give you more details on that next week. Until then, have a great week and a great holiday.